This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. And we begin with Professor Jack Emerson Davis. He teaches at the University of Florida, and he is the 2018 winner of the Pulitzer Prize for History. His book is about the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf, the making of the an American sea. And Professor Davis will be at LSU in a few days on the 11th of January, speaking to the LSU College of Coast and Environment at 11:30. And we'll talk more about that. But this book is quite a adventure into the Gulf of Mexico, which began, what, Professor Davis, about 300 million years ago?
That sounds about right, yes.
Yeah, it's a long
time. Quite a while ago.
How did it start?
The Gulf of Mexico started actually with the breakup of the supercontinent, Pangaea. And what's interesting, or I found interesting in my research, is that geographers tend to describe the Gulf of Mexico as a part of the, a mere part, if you will, of the Atlantic Ocean, but the Gulf is actually older than the Atlantic.
And it is one of the largest bodies of water in the world, and of course of immense importance to those of us who live near it, and Louisiana is a border state. How important is it to the fabric of our country as we know it?
Oh, I think the Gulf of Mexico is extremely important and goes beyond oil. It always has, and one reason why I wrote this book is to actually describe that importance to my readers, because historians have all but ignored the Gulf of Mexico. You don't find it mentioned in U.S. history textbooks, and if you do, it's only mentioned in passing. But one of the things two of the things I emphasize in the book is both the historical and the ecological connection between the Gulf of Mexico to the rest of the country. And not just Gulfsiders, but all Americans.
Well, it's a beautiful body of water, but as we know, with coastal erosion and climate change, it could become a deadly force for those on the coast. How significant is it to address those concerns right now?
Oh, I think it's extremely significant because, according to some studies, five of the most of the top 10 most vulnerable metropolitan areas to sea level rise around the Gulf of Mexico. And the most important thing to do is obviously be aware of that, but to preserve and to restore the living shoreline, because that's our greatest defense against intense seas and sea level rise generally. And when I say living shoreline, I mean the coastal marshes such as those on the Louisiana coast, oyster beds, mangrove forest, and all of those things are extremely important as protection, as buffers against rising seas. But they're also habitat, obviously, and nursery ground for the robust marine life of the Gulf of Mexico. And the other thing about the living shoreline is that it absorbs carbon. They are fantastic carbon sinks, absorbing carbon out of the water and out of the air. And that's something that we need right now. So it's a win-win-win with the living shoreline.
We're visiting with Jack Emerson Davis. His Pulitzer Prize-winning book, 2018 for History, The Gulf, The Making of an American Sea. And some of the great cities of the world are in close proximity to the Gulf. And we mentioned New Orleans, but Houston and Corpus Christi and Havana, Tampa, Mobile, Gulfport, Key West, all of these cities are at or near the mouth of the Gulf of Mexico. So what happens not only here in Louisiana, but to the entire region if something is not done to address the climate change as we know it?
Well, the first thing you see, the first consequence you tend to see is the infrastructure. In those metropolitan areas that you named, will be taxed, particularly stormwater systems. They will back, and many of them are already backing up, even with king tides, which is a normal phenomenon, beyond a hurricane. And So, and also fresh water sources that are near the shore or near the coast are at risk of salting up, particularly in Florida and lower Alabama and lower Mississippi, where much of their the metropolitan freshwater comes from the Floridan aquifer. And so that's what you'll see happening first. Now, in Louisiana, of course, you're already seeing hard infrastructure, roadways and bridges and causeways, and, of course, homes as well being swallowed up by the rising seas. And of course, part of the issue in Louisiana is just the land erosion for the lack of renourishment.
Well, we're looking at a situation that has to be addressed for life to continue as we know it. And Jack Emerson Davis is an expert of significant renown, winning the Pulitzer Prize for History in 2018. Were you surprised that you got this great honor?
I was. Nobody could have been more surprised than I. And, of course, the Pulitzer does not announce the finalists in advance. So you don't know who is in the running. And I didn't even know that the prizes were announced on April 16th, and I didn't even know that they were announcing that day. I didn't know my publisher had nominated the book. So I was caught completely off guard.
Now, I've got a couple of questions from listeners. One notes that about 20% of the United States oil production comes from the Gulf. Is this going to change, or will this continue for as long as we can see?
I think that will continue for as long as we can see. I mean, it hasn't changed yet. If anything, since the BP oil spill, we've expanded production on the Gulf and exploration on the Gulf, and of course the only state that doesn't have offshore oil and gas drilling is Florida, Gulf state I should say, and even since BP there have been noises made in Florida to allow that. I don't think it ever will, but yes, I think it will continue apace certainly in the near future for a few decades more.
And another listener notes that cities along the Gulf have always been vulnerable to hurricanes, Galveston in particular in 1900. So what's new? What has changed to make the cities at or near the Gulf waters more vulnerable today?
That's correct, and I do write about Galveston, the 1900 hurricane, and which was a significant turning point in the human relationship with shoreside living in hurricane areas. And what has changed is that more people live in harm's way. Many, many more people live. I mean, more than 20 million people around the Gulf of Mexico. But also the property values and the built environment is much more expansive and more costly to replace these days. The other thing has changed that is we are better at evacuating when a hurricane comes, but we're not better at protecting our property because we're losing more and more and more. Each hurricane tends to get more expensive than the previous one.
All right. Another listener asks, who discovered the Gulf and how deep is it at its peak depth?
Well, its peak depth is around 2 miles. It's a relatively shallow body of water. The average depth is a mile. Who discovered it? Well, we don't know because when the Spanish came along, some 400,000 native peoples, if not more than that, lived on the Gulf Coast. As far as the Europeans, Columbus was the first one to actually reach the inlet of the Gulf of Mexico, but turned back because of the Gulf Stream turning him around. Didn't know he saw a Gulf. Juan Ponce de Leon in 1513 was the first, as far as we know on record, European to sail into the Gulf of Mexico when he went to Southwest Florida, but he didn't know he had sailed into the Gulf either. The Spanish didn't realize the Gulf was the Gulf until 1528, and which I write about in the book.
Professor Jack Davis will be at LSU this Friday, 11:30, LSU College of Coast and Environment, the Dalton Woods Auditorium, and he'll talk more about this. But based on your book, which won the Pulitzer Prize, if the Gulf goes, America's world changes immensely, doesn't it?
It does change immensely, because if the Gulf goes, a lot of other things will go too, unfortunately. I don't think the Gulf will go. What will happen is it will expand. I mean, over the eons, it has expanded and contracted multiple times. At one time, it reached as far north as Illinois. And so if it goes, quote-unquote goes, it means that really what it means is that land mass will go.